Well, it's all right.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. You're here for an evolved perspective on life with dogs. And we have a guest today, Dr. Randall Lockwood, who is the Senior Vice President for Anti-Cruelty Field Services with the ASPCA. Welcome, Dr. Lockwood.
You gotta give me some kind of cue that we're bringing Dr. Lockwood out right now.
Hi, Dr. Lockwood. Welcome.
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, hi.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
So you are on the scene, so to speak, for the recent dogfighting operation that was just recently busted, correct?
Correct, yes.
And
Go ahead. We were invited to assist the Humane Society of Missouri in St. Louis. They were the lead organization, and this is an investigation that they had started almost a year and a half ago. But we were invited in to assist with a number of aspects of the case.
Mm-hmm. And how did this, so it's been under investigation for a while, how did light get shed on this operation?
The original leads for this were developed by the investigators with Humane Society of Missouri, who I think had been interested in tracking dogfight activity in and around St. Louis, but throughout the state in the St. Louis metro area. Through various informants, I think they learned of a number of people who were involved and turned that information over to federal authorities, including the FBI and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, because they do have the authority for enforcing the federal laws governing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were then able to develop even more information through use of undercover operatives. I don't know the full aspects of the case yet, you know, but we have, I think, more than 20 individuals that have been charged, and I think actually some arrests are still continuing as we speak, as this continues to fan out.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was the hard work of Humane Society of Missouri and the fortunate cooperation of federal authorities.
Mm.
This was really an encouraging development. I think some people were skeptical that the Michael Vick case, which ASPCA had also been involved in assisting federal authorities in that,
mm-hmm.
I think there had been concern that that was a fluke, that really the federal authorities might not be interested in pursuing smaller cases that did not involve celebrity defendants. But this I think, sends a very important message that the law is the law, and federal authorities take dogfighting seriously,
mm-hmm.
and will work with state, local, and other people to really crack down on it.
Mm-hmm. And from what I read, it doesn't sound like this was a small operation at all, as it turns out.
There were a large number of individuals involved and many, many dogs, probably totaling more than 500 once we consider all the different locations.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these operations were quite large, with 100 or more dogs, some not nearly that big.
Mm-hmm. And it was spanning over several states?
Yeah, actually, there were arrests made, I think, now in a total of 8 states.
Okay.
The major focus was really spread out over 5. The ASPCA primarily assisted with the operations in Missouri and Illinois.
Mm-hmm. So I just wonder, I mean, I can't fathom this being a form of entertainment or sport for anybody. Can you shed some light on the mentality of people who are involved in this type of thing?
Well, one of the disturbing things about this is, they weren't all brutal psychopaths. I know one of those arrested was a high school coach. I believe another was a nurse. So this does cut across a wide variety of occupation levels, economic levels, ethnicity and everything else. And one of the things that is universal, I think, is greed. A major motive for dogfighting is the fact that you can make money not only in the fights themselves, but much of the money that changes hands in dogfights surrounds other activities, the breeding of the dogs, sale of puppies, sale of stud feasts, sale of paraphernalia like training equipment, treadmills, things like that. Mm-hmm. And also we know that invariably at a dogfight there are illegal drugs. Virtually 100% of dogfight raids turn up illegal drugs, mm-hmm. often trafficking in weapons. Probably in about a third of the cases we see weapons found, illegal weapons, in addition to the gambling. So that's one aspect is the money. Another aspect really is sort of the sadism of it, that people get off on the violence of it. And that's particularly disturbing when you do have children in the audience, children who are inducted into the world of dogfighting, partly coming in through their love of the dogs, but then the dogs are subjected to this horrible treatment. And sometimes it's for the bragging rights that the dogs are essentially serving as surrogates for you. And, you know, if they're victorious, you can take some pride in that. The downside of that is when the dog is defeated, many dogfighters look upon that as a personal humiliation. And that's why we see sometimes some horrible treatment of the dogs that are the losers. They may simply be abandoned or left to die, but often they are brutally killed, hanging, electrocution, drowning, beating, and that's particularly disturbing. You know, here, if an animal has basically been a symbol for you, a symbol of your strength and machismo, and it's let you down, the results can be very brutal, and obviously someone capable of that kind of action is someone we need to be very concerned about.
Mm-hmm. And so there isn't really a demographic that we can identify to target as far as, you know, education for generations to come, that this is not an existence in our society?
You know, not really. We have seen dogfighting in virtually every state, in urban areas, suburban areas, rural areas. When I first began working with investigations of dogfighting maybe 25 years ago, it was kind of seen as more of a rural backwoods, good old boy sport. And then as we saw it moving into the cities and into urban areas, it became more identified sometimes with the gang activity and also kind of with the outlaw and hip-hop culture. Mm-hmm. Actually, 15, 20 years ago, it was very rare to see black dogfighters. It was unusual. And then, of course, we saw a rise of it in the inner city, I think in part due to pit bull bans. When communities start banning pit bulls, it creates the outlaw image. And for people wanting to have the image of being an outlaw, it then became an attraction rather than a deterrent.
Hmm. And so are the dogs, and I know that there's the fighting dogs and then they use bait dogs as well. So are all of the dogs that you've rescued pit bulls, or are there multiple different breeds?
Virtually all of them are American pit bull terriers, a few pit mixes. We've seen some American bulldogs and one or two other dogs that might have been kept as guard dogs, but the majority of them are American pit bull terriers.
Mm-hmm. And you are involved with the evaluation process of these dogs for their temperament as far as...
That will be beginning this week. We've done some preliminary work. As the animals were coming in, we'll spend a lot more time doing much more detailed evaluation. And we're going to try to look as carefully as possible at every dog that is medically sound, and really try to get the most complete picture we can of every dog as an individual.
Mm-hmm. And what is the consequence for the people who are arrested?
Well, on these are federal indictments. I haven't seen the full list of charges, but you know, they'll go certainly in conspiracy and in trafficking for the purposes of dogfighting. potentially the fines can be usually up 5 years in prison. Fines can be upwards of as high as $250,000. There may also be state charges filed, as well as cruelty to animals charges. So there could be very serious consequences for this. And as I mentioned, in addition, it's usually fairly typical in these cases that you also see the seizure of substantial quantities of illegal drugs and weapons and parole violations and everything else. And again, I can't speak to the specifics of the case, and I don't know the details of all those who have been arrested. But typically in cases like this, we have multiple charges. And fortunately, since these are federal charges, those are fairly serious charges. Sometimes what happens at the state level is if you've got a substantial finding of drugs or something like that, sometimes the dogfight charges are plea bargained away. I don't think that's going to happen in cases like this where the dogfight charges are so substantial.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back shortly with Dr. Randall Lockwood, Senior Vice President for Anti-Cruelty Field Services with the ASPCA. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Join Vicki July 27th when we'll discuss good food beyond factory farming with one of America's leading environmental activists, Nicolette Hamm-Niemann.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are here today with Dr. Randall Lockwood, Senior Vice President for Anti-Cruelty Field Services with the ASPCA. Welcome back, Dr. Lockwood.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're talking about the, it's the largest in U.S. history, I believe, dogfighting operation that was just busted a few weeks ago.
That's right.
And Dr. Lockwood has a big part in the behavior evaluation of these dogs that they have seized from this operation, in sort of, you know, evaluating their temperament to see what their future holds for them. And I'm really really very curious to find out a little bit more about that process and how you go about evaluating this breed, where they've had in many cases a, you know, very abusive experience, and they're also bred to fight. So can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Sure. Well, we think it's very important, first of all, to look upon each of these animals as an individual, even though some of them may have come from champion fighting bloodlines. The reality is that's no guarantee that they will have a high level of aggression to other dogs. That has not necessarily been our experience in other evaluations of fighting dogs. It really depends a lot on the individual location where the animals are seized, their own background, and so on. It's also important to look on each of these animals as a victim, that they have been subjected at very least to substantial deprivation. Most of their lives have been spent on a short chain with, you know, little opportunity for socialization to dogs or people. And what we in general try to do with these evaluations is to look at the potential for that and to look at possible risk factors. We do evaluate, first the animals are given a week or so to adjust to the shelter environment, realizing that they've been through the trauma of rescue and transport and so on, give them some time to calm down, but also begin collecting information from those who are caring for them, that are cleaning the cages, that are providing food, that are taking them out for walks if they can be, and usually in these cases most can. But then also the general protocol that's been used with the Vic dogs and used in other similar assessments is to look at a range of responses to familiar and unfamiliar people and animals, and really carefully monitor and everything, all of their interactions, but also look at the extent to which any potential level of aggression they show, how easily can that be interrupted or diverted, which gives you a better indicator of their potential for rehabilitation through retraining. And then the Humane Society of Missouri has been asked by the U.S. attorneys to essentially provide summary evaluations of all the dogs prior to disposition hearings, make recommendations. Ultimately, it is the court that will decide what is done with the animals, but we've been asked to work with them to make recommendations. Mm-hmm. In the case of the Vic dogs, we basically tried to categorize animals into those that we considered to be suitable for foster care and observation. No animal is going to leave the temporary shelter and go straight into an adoptive home. All of these animals that are deemed capable of being released will first go into some sort of situation where they can undergo further observation and work with people that are familiar with the needs of the breed. Some might be designated for sanctuary at various levels, a sanctuary where they have opportunity for interaction with a variety of people and dogs, and the level two sanctuary, such as some of the dogs from the Vic case went to Best Friends, where they have limited opportunities but gradually expanding to see if how well they do adjust to being around particularly other dogs. And then, you know, the final possibility is euthanasia, if it's deemed that for medical or behavioral reasons they simply cannot adjust or are a danger to themselves or others. And at this point, I really can't make any forecast as to how many might fall into what categories. every population of fighting dogs we seize is potentially a little bit different, depending on their sources. In the case of Michael Vick's dogs, his dogs were actually not terribly good fighting dogs. That they were coming from a variety of sources. They were killing a lot of the dogs that were not willing to fight. But that meant that a lot of those dogs actually had very good prospects for rehabilitation. In other circumstances, fewer animals have shown that kind of promise. So again, it's important to look on each of the animals as an individual. And we try to give them their best possible shot to show their best possible behavior, mm-hmm. while still remaining alert to potential problems that which we take quite seriously.
Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly not surprised, but it's nice to hear that you are looking at it case by case and that you seem to have a very balanced and realistic perspective on the situation and the breeds. And do you find that some of the dogs that actually can be rehabilitated and are rehomed into homes that have other dogs in them?
That's certainly been the case with the Vick dogs and some of the animals that have been described by both Best Friends and by Bad Rap. Between them, they dealt with quite a few of the animals, and there are animals there that are living happily with many other dogs. There are some that have succeeded in becoming canine good citizens, which certainly requires good control of your behavior around children and adults and other dogs and cats and things like that. So it certainly is possible. And again, we've learned a lot more about dog aggression and fighting dogs and so on in the last 20 or 25 years, when it was almost universal that animal control agencies and humane societies were recommending that any animals, including pups, seized from a dogfight operation should be euthanized because the risks to other animals and the public and their own return to fighting were too high. But that was in the days when we did not have a good network of breed rescue, when we did not have a large population of people very familiar with the needs and training of pit bulls, where we now know a lot more about applied animal behavior. We're much better at doing assessments. So we felt it was very important to change with the times, mm-hmm. and really adjust that view and make every effort when the resources are there to give animals a chance. Mm-hmm. The downside, ultimately, what will probably decide the fate of many animals in cases like this really is the availability of suitable homes. Mm-hmm. It's hard enough for most shelters to place adoptable pit bulls from their general shelter population. Mm-hmm. Animals coming from a fight situation may have other special needs, both medical and behavioral. Mm-hmm. So it's hard enough finding good homes for shelter dogs in general. Mm-hmm. And that might ultimately prove to be what determines the fate of a lot of these animals is just the availability of the right kind of homes for them rather than their own behavioral status.
Mm-hmm. Is there, and we only have a couple minutes left with you today, can you share your thoughts for the two extreme sides on this pit bull and fighting dog topic, some wisdom for both sides to consider?
I think as with any controversy with two very polarized sides, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle, that certainly genetics does influence the behavior of all dogs. And as we said during the break, setters set retrievers, retrieving pointers point partly because that's in their heritage. And fighting dogs fight because that's one of the things they've been bred to do. But not all fighting dogs fight. And just having come even from champion-winning bloodlines does not necessarily guarantee that an animal is going to be uncontrollably aggressive to other dogs. And we really have learned, as with any kind of attempt at genetic prediction, that you really have to look at the entire individual because there's so many things that can influence the course of behavior. And that's been a wake-up call, I think, for a lot of people. And And I'm comfortable with that position that we recognize that there are differences and very realistic differences in the potential for fighting dogs, but we really do have to then assess how much of an impact that has had. And mm-hmm. certainly most groups are prepared to recognize that some animals may need to be euthanized. We can't save them all. We can't expect to save them all, nor should we condemn them all to death without trying to take a look at each one as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also importantly, this operation is no longer. So that's good, a good place to start. Thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for what you do. Because I think what you do helps redeem us as a species for some of the actions that others do as well.
I hope so. I do see dogfighting as really the ultimate betrayal of that human-dog bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why ASPCA and other humane groups are just so dedicated to really concentrating on stamping that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to you with your work in the future, and thank you so much again for your time and for what you do.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. That's Dr. Okay. Lockwood, Senior Vice President for Anti-Cruelty Field Services with the ASPCA. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Is your pet suffering from allergies, cancer, arthritis, back pain, or digestive upset? The Holistic Animal Clinic treats these problems and more using holistic veterinary medicine and acupuncture to bring your pet to health. Dr. Masami Seplo's treatment supports the body's natural ability to heal itself, are non-invasive and highly effective. If your pet doesn't tolerate medication or nothing you've tried is working, visit theholisticanimalclinic.net or call 206-723-3809 to make an appointment. That's www.holisticanimalclinic.net, 206-723-3809.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, it's Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check on the birds at Mollywood Avian Sanctuary, the baby boom at Sarvey Wildlife Care Center, the horses at Equine Rescue Association, plus a new pet of the week and a full report from King County Animal Care and Control on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we were just talking with Dr. Lockwood with the ASPCA about the dog fighting operation, largest in U.S. history, that was just broken up a few weeks ago. And he is, I think, in about a week going to start working with each dog as an individual and evaluating their temperament and behavior. And I just cannot thank him enough for the work that he does. And I can only send my deepest apologies to those dogs for the actions of the species that I belong to. And so for more information about that, you can look at the ASPCA, which is the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals website, and find out more about that. Maybe keep updated with the process that they're going through now with the dogs, and also in the prosecution of the people who were busted. So I hope they get what's coming to them. So we've got some, I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you have any thoughts on this, feel free to give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. If you would like to share your thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. So, Eric.
Standing by.
Eric, my booth engineer.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So we've got some, I have a fabulous prize to give away today.
Cool.
Furminator brush.
Oh, I've heard a lot about those.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to get one of those my own self.
The Furminator.
Not for me, but I have cats, you
right,
know, and I
right,
think that
right,
would
right.
be great.
Yeah.
On the cats.
Well, it's this, it gets so much hair out. It is aptly named.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Yep. The Furminator. And we have a big Furminator brush to give away on the show for the correct answer to a trivia question.
Ooh, all right. So stand by, get your dialing finger ready and
yep.
your trivia hat on.
Dog breed trivia. And so stay tuned for that. That'll be happening within the next by the end of this segment.
Okay.
Stand by.
It's got to happen in the next 24 minutes because that's all we got.
That's right. So that's a Furminator brush we've got to give away to a lucky caller. So stay tuned for that. And also just wanted to mention, there's a free publication out there called the Pet Gazette, Washington Pet Gazette, and the website is www.
Now, does it squeak when you...
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
It just crinkles like a newspaper.
All right. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Oh, okay. They always make those dog toys that are like newspapers. It's
oh,
always like the,
yeah.
The
no.
Morning Paw Journal or
this
something.
This one's real. Yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay.
This one actually has some articles and featured pets for adoption around local shelters. And it's a free publication. It looks just like a little newspaper, the Pet Gazette. And the website is www.wapetgazette.com.
So WA can, for Washington.
Yes. Wapetgazette.com. And you will find these very striking Dog Talk Show logo in the pages of this this fine publication.
Very nice.
And it's around, you know, when you're in your vet's office or at your local pet supply store, keep an eye out for that and grab a copy.
They scratch our ears, we scratch theirs.
Exactly. And so let's do the trivia, Eric, because I want to do it now. And
okay,
we
very
give people
good.
Enough time. So, if you can name...
Let's give the phone numbers out here first.
All right.
425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW. That's 888-298-5569. So get that dialing finger ready and get the trivia hat on, because... Have we built this up enough?
We've got a Furminator brush.
We've got the Furminator brush.
That
That's
needs
right.
a good home. All right. If you can name three breeds that begin with the letter C. Three dog breeds that begin with the letter C.
I've got three in my head already.
And we will mail out a Furminator brush for you. So.
I'm writing down my answers. We'll see how they compare with the callers.
All right. We should see who between the two of us can write down the most.
Oh, it will be you. You're the dog expert.
I hope so.
I'm just a guy that has a great affection for all animals.
And cat is not an answer.
Cat. Oh, dang it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it looks like we've got some calls coming in here.
We do.
With the answers here pretty quickly. So did you have anything else that you wanted to talk about here?
No, I'd like to hear the answers.
Well, okay.
I think I think line one is ready to go.
I think we're still waiting on that. So let's just give a second here, and we'll get our answers. But I've got a few written down, so we'll see how they compare.
All right.
Yeah. I think you should have made that maybe just a touch tougher.
I don't know. We had, you know, I think I make them too hard.
Well, that's true. Sometimes they can be a little tough, but this is a really great prize.
It is a great prize. We have more, though. We have more Furminator brushes to give away.
Beautiful.
In future shows.
All right. So make sure everybody tune in, of course, every Wednesday here at 2 o'clock.
Yes.
For the Dog Talk Show.
Yeah.
And will we toss in one of those cool Dog Talk Show stickers?
Absolutely. We have some really cool Dog Talk Show stickers that are car stickers that we give away for free. And they're waterproof. You can put them on pretty much anything. And if you want to take a look at what that looks like, you can go to the website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com.
Dogtalkshow.com.
Mm-hmm. Also, all the past shows are archived on the website.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You and your canine friends can log on, download, and enjoy.
That's right. And I'm also going to answer the question after we get the call squared away here with the trivia question.
Mm-hmm.
How to teach a dog how to take a treat nicely. So I'm going to answer that question after this.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Let's take Deborah in Seattle. Deborah in Seattle. Hello.
Hello.
So can you name three dog breeds that begin with the letter C?
Well, what I came up with is Cocker Spaniel, Chihuahua, and Chinese Crested.
Excellent. Well done. You even had a double C Chinese Crested, and I
yeah.
will have to throw in a bonus of a bag of Bit of Love dog treats for you.
Well, thank you.
So what kind of dog do you have, or dogs?
I have a Husky Shepherd mix.
Mm-hmm. How old?
Male. He's two.
Very handsome. Well, you with a Husky mix are going to love this brush.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to look like he had puppies after you're done.
Oh, yay. I can sure use it.
Yep. So we will give you back to Darcy to get your mailing information, and we'll get that brush out to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Great job, Deborah.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
That's a good one. Chesapeake Bay Retriever
mm-hmm.
would be another one. Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Mm-hmm.
That's got two C's in it, too. That's a bonus. I had a whole bunch of them. You should see me thinking about dog breeds with different letters in my spare time, Eric. That's what I do, along with singing songs that have my dog's names in them or inserting my dog's names.
You may have too much free time on your paws, Julie.
No, I definitely don't. Okay, so also wanted to, before we take this next break, good job, Deborah from Seattle, answering that question.
Yeah, great job.
We've got another Furminator brush to give away, but not today. So stay tuned. We pretty much give away cool stuff every show. So every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m., tune in for some dog trivia. And Eric, if you think I need to make the questions harder, I will.
Well, I'm sure our listeners are out there going, no, make it harder.
Eric,
don't make it harder. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Fleas. I talked about this last week, and I just want to say this again because I am passionate about not using a topical pesticide on your animal to control flea problems or potential flea problems because it's not good for them. If it can kill the bugs on the body, it can't be good for the body. I don't care what the companies say. And you don't have to put anything on the body because fleas spend half their life cycle actually off the animal. So it's actually more effective and safer for your pet to treat the environment and then you don't have to do anything to the pet. So check out Flea Busters. They have a local franchise for King, Snohomish, and Pierce County, as well as all over the rest of the country. This product works. I used it myself. They came over. We were having a hard time getting rid of the fleas. We've got a bunch of dogs, and we were bathing them like twice a week and washing their bedding every other day and using essential oils and doing everything I knew to do, and it just wasn't working. And I found out why. It's just because those fleas are hard to get to. So you need someone who can come into your environment and know what they're going to do, know how to target them. And for the carpet treatment is a completely non-toxic form of salt, so you can actually eat it. That's how non-toxic it is. And it takes about 3 to 5 weeks because the fleas have to go through their life cycle and hatch and then die because of the salt and the treatment. But it works.
Does it feel like you're at the beach for those few weeks?
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Got a little sandy action going on?
Doesn't feel like that for the fleas. No, you can't see it at all. So it's not, they brush it into the rug, so it gets down into the rug, and then it forms a static charge. So it sticks so that you can even vacuum your rug over it, and the vacuum will not suck up the salt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So check out Flea Busters. And if you're having a flea problem, don't use those harsh chemicals on your animal. Treat the environment instead. It's much more effective and safer. So when we come back from break, I'm going to demonstrate with Eric how to teach your dog how to take a treat gently.
I hope we don't have the webcam on for this one.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to take another break. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bitolove, the treat that's made in the U.S. with USDA-inspected meat, without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts. It's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow, roasted, mouth-watering Bitolove dog treats. And don't forget to stop by Bitolove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, now at its new time, Wednesdays at noon, here on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Join Vicki July 27th when we'll discuss good food beyond factory farming with one of America's leading environmental activists, Nicolette Hamm-Niemann.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine with over 60 years of experience will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup? Feeling stressed or anxious? Or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
There's something weird, and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! Flea Busters! Good one, Eric.
That's another one you can sing.
Yep. welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We have a caller with a question on line one.
Always welcome on this show.
Always welcome. Is this Deborah in Seattle?
No, Nancy in Kirkland.
Nancy in Kirkland. Welcome. Thanks for calling. So you had a question about your dog?
Yeah, I wanted a dog for my two kids, 5 and 9, and wanted something that was good with children. So I heard about the Labradoodle breed and didn't want too big of a dog, so went with what's called a miniature or Australian Labradoodle.
Mm-hmm.
But we got her when she was 4 months old, and I don't know if that's the problem or because she's smaller and it's something in her mix, but she's good with the kids, but she's not great with the kids. I mean, she's skittish around them, and when they try to hug her, she'll kind of growl and pull away. And I wanted the kind of happy-go-lucky type of dog for my kids, and eventually we'll probably get a second dog, so I just don't want to repeat the mistake. And I don't know if it's the breed or if it's because we got her when she was older.
Mm-hmm. And did you get her from a local breeder?
No, somebody out of state, and I don't know if she was, you know, socialized with little kids. In fact, I know she wasn't. I think the family had teenagers in the house.
Mm. And you have a 5 and 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And how old is she now?
She's a year.
Okay.
I mean, she never bites or anything, but she definitely growls when she's, you know, when they try to hug her tight or, you know, pick her up, and she's just disgruntled.
Yeah. Well, so a couple things. One, the behavior that she's doing is, you know, you've got young children, so young children tend to do what they do with dogs, and you know, and so, you know, she doesn't want to be squeezed tight and she doesn't want to be picked up, so she's communicating with the kids that she doesn't want to do that, and it's great that she's not biting them. You know, kids have an energy about them, and it's, for some breeds, if you don't just get lucky, it's important to get them as young animals so that from puppyhood they can adjust to the energy of children.
Uh-huh.
And the unpredictability of children and the chaos of children.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you got her at 4 months, and, you know, who knows about her, you know, her temperament.
Mm-hmm.
And her, you know, the temperament of her parents as, mm-hmm, dogs. And those are all really important things, especially if you have specific, you know, specific needs and you're looking for a dog to really fit those needs.
Mm-hmm.
That you are able to actually go on site, look at the facility, meet the mom and the dad if you can, although oftentimes the sire of the pups isn't on site.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get a sense for the temperament, and then having the breeder also, you know, knowing that it's going, you know, that the dog is going to a home with small children.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, you know, hindsight 2020, right?
Yeah.
So she's a year old now, and she's not biting the kids, and, you know.
And she's pretty good with the 9-year-old. It's just the 5-year-old wants to, you know, dress her up in little doll clothes and pick her up by her tummy. And,
yeah,
you know, she's just, and that she is more of a problem, but. But still, my 9-year-old, you know, wants to, you always see pictures of golden retrievers and labs, and the kids are just pulling theirs and hanging on them, and the dog just sits there.
Yeah.
And she won't do that. She scoots away and hides.
Yeah. And, you know, on that note as well, that is the golden retriever that people think they're going to get.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, since the breed has gotten, you know, I'd say within the past decade,
uh-huh,
since the breed has just really gotten that reputation for being the ideal family dog, that you can do anything to the dog and,
yeah,
they're just not going to care and they're just going to want to hang out and be happy. And,
yeah.
And it's really not the case anymore. Golden retrievers are one of the number one biting breeds now.
Oh my goodness.
Because they got popular and the quality of the breeding basically goes down the toilet.
Oh yeah.
So it happened with Cocker Spaniels when Lady and the Tramp came out, I think in the 50s or 60s. anytime a breed gets popular, you get, you know, half the breeders out there being responsible, and then you get half the breeders out there that are just trying to make money, or they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So there's irresponsible breeding, and then you get dogs that either have physical issues or, you know, temperament issues, mm-hmm. and, you know, aggression, or just sort of a unstable temperament is, you know, that's definitely a genetic trait.
Yeah. And I have a secondary question. Mm-hmm. When we do get a second dog, the other complaint for my 9-year-old is I'm the pack leader. And so she looks, you know, I'm the one that she goes to first, and that bothers him. He wants to have a dog that comes to him. And I don't know in a family if that's possible for a young child to be, you know, the one that the dog goes to and looks to, or if there's things that I should be doing or could be doing.
Well, if you worked for a company that was run by a 9-year-old, would you naturally kind of look to that person?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you can have him, you know, maybe develop a training relationship with the dog. He's certainly old enough to work with her in the context of training. It's actually a really good age, especially if he's kind of like, I want her to look to me.
Yeah.
Then give him that outlet and that structure in the context of obedience training. And that also will help her hopefully even out a little bit mentally. So get her some really strong education.
Okay.
And I can talk to you more about that off air if you want more information about that.
Okay.
But that would be a good thing to do. Get them in a class with her. Get them working together so that their only interaction isn't just, let me squeeze you as hard as I can. Oh, why don't you like that?
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, great.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
And did we get your address?
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to send you back to Darcy and get your address. We'll send you out some free training treats to get that training going.
Oh, okay. Great.
By a bit of love. And we'll also send you out a car sticker with the logo.
Oh, wonderful. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks, Nancy. Bye. All right. So, as I promised, how to teach a dog to take a treat gently.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy.
Okay.
So I'm going to pretend to give you a treat, Eric.
Yay!
And then you're going to try to snatch it out of my hands, and we're going to pretend that you're a dog and you're using your mouth.
All right. But can I use my hands in this one, or is this like soccer?
No, you can use your hands.
Okay.
I don't think I can reach that far anyway.
All right.
Okay, so Eric.
Yes?
Good sit. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to give you the treat, and then you go to snatch it. Ow! And then I pulled it away, and Eric did not get the treat.
I'm frightened.
And he's frightened.
What happened?
So if you surprise the dog as you're going down to give them the treat and then they go, rah, and, you know, take your whole hand in their mouth or take it in a way that is too harsh,
mm-hmm.
don't give them the treat. Snatch the treat away from them.
Okay.
And ow! Like, and mean it.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to be like, woo. If you do that enough times, it's so simple.
Hmm.
Do that enough times and the dog, and then you go back and you say, gentle, Eric, gentle, and you use this slow, gentle energy, and you look at them.
Okay.
And then if they do it too aggressively again, ow, and snatch it away.
All right.
And they don't get the treat until they take it nicely. Gentle, and then they take it gently, and you say, good, gentle.
Good engineer.
Good.
Now I really want that pen that you're holding.
I know you do.
After the show, I'm going to wrestle it away.
Yeah. Well, my dachshund is a land shark, and she'll take your hand off if you don't tell her to be gentle. And I've been really working with her on that just within the past couple weeks, just really focusing on that to work with her on. And she's now starting to take it more gently, even though I haven't necessarily asked her. But you do have to ask consistently at first so that they kind of get out of the habit of just hark. So, and also too, like if you toss the treat to your dog as an attempt to avoid having to hand them the treat to save your hands, then it kind of trains them to snap also, because they're sort of anticipating having to catch the treat, which sort of is an agitating thing anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. And the treat can get lost, making it frustrating for everybody.
It can, yeah. So that's it for this week, Eric. Enjoy the abundant sunshine, everybody. And I will be doing this, and I encourage everyone out there who loves dogs, who has ever loved a dog, to hold those dogs out there who have just been rescued from this massive dogfighting operation in your hearts for the next few weeks as they,
as they recover.
As they recover, yeah, and as they are evaluated. So we will be back next week. We'll have some more trivia and some cool stuff to give away. If you want a sticker sent to you in the mail for free, email me, host@dogtalkshow.com. You are listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.